Are you seeking biblical truth that applies to today's moral quandaries? Do you question the veracity of your pastor? What about your favorite talk show host? Are you starving for someone who cares about today's burning issues, who actively pursues solutions to them? If you're like me, you've even tried to engage your pastor into involvement, but he's shied away from being political or controversial. For far too long, today's Christians have wasted time in churches that don't or won't take a biblical stand. They look to men for direction and vision rather than searching God's Word for what He would have us to do. I'm Leslie Hanks, Vice President of Colorado Right to Life, and sadly, I spent far too many years seeking a pastor who cared about preborn babies and their right to life. Now that I attend Denver Bible Church, I feel like I've come home. Pastor Enyart is a true friend of the pro-life movement. His program, Bob Enyart Live, keeps me informed of today's pressing issues and conveys the most up-to-date information from a biblical perspective. He stands for the protection of all innocent life in America. Bob was a real hero fighting for Terri Schiavo. If you care about life, God's Word, and our country, I know you're going to love Bob Enyart Live. Join me in coming home to a place where God's truths are proudly proclaimed and embraced. Tune in for a fun shot of reality that you can always use to make a difference. Won't you help me support Bob Enyart Live financially and prayerfully? If you're in Denver, we welcome you to Denver Bible Church. If you're not, sign up for the weekly sermons and Bible study series. Check out kgov.com for all of the materials or call 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I've been taking off the whole month of May working on a very important project, and I have to thank Doug McBurney and Greg Jackson for filling in as they have. Those guys are troopers. They've kept Bob Enyart Live alive while we're working on just crucial projects. Well, one big project that we'll be telling you about at the beginning of June. But I came in today because I have such an important interview to do in Montana. There is a creation museum. Now, this is going to blow your mind. You guys have heard about the creation museum, of course, in Kentucky. Well, I have on the line with me Otis Klein. Otis, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Otis, it's great to have you on the show, and I was at your museum before it opened, and I was stunned by how tremendous a creation and fossil museum you've got there in Montana. So let's tell the audience, because, folks, we're in Colorado. We get into seven neighboring states, and, of course, some folks will be visiting Montana. And others have friends that'll be traveling through. What is it, I-90 you're on?
We're on I-94.
I-94.
Between Billings and Minneapolis-St. Paul. Goes through Bismarck also.
All right. Between Billings and Minneapolis-St. Paul. Mm-hmm. And so let's tell everybody about your museum and about all the extraordinary research you guys are doing up there.
Well, we are the largest dinosaur and fossil museum in the world to present the fossils in the context of biblical creation. You mentioned at your opening comments about the Creation Museum in Northern Kentucky, and
yeah,
they're certainly larger than we are, but they go way beyond us. We concentrate primarily on the dinosaurs and the fossils and the scientific studies that go along with those, and we have marvelous exhibits. We have full-size dinosaurs here. We have 23 fossil exhibits. Some are fish, some are marine reptiles. We have the big T-Rex, an Acrocanthosaurus, mastodon, other fossils here, but we also have a lot of scientific literature for people to see, talking about the proofs for humans and dinosaurs living at the same time. And, of course, the Bible says that happened.
Mm-hmm.
They were both created on day six, being the land creatures. And we also have a lot of proof for a young Earth that conforms with the biblical timeline, about 6,000, 6,300 years of age. A lot of scientific proof for that. And the museum itself is located also where we dig dinosaurs. Mm. And so we can even take people out on dinosaur excavations. We own our own property that allows us to do that. And so you can have really quite an experience coming up here.
Well, Otis,
and viewing this.
Yeah, so the museum is extraordinary, but then there are all the events, the research, the digs for fossils that happen on the property of the museum that you guys own. And that's how I met you a few years back on a fossil dig with some of the most extraordinary creationists from around the country. In fact, the few days that I was up there and we got to enjoy going through it's the Hell Creek Formation, is that right?
That is correct. That's the geological formation where what I call the glamour dinosaurs are found.
The glamour dinosaurs.
Yeah, like the T-Rex and the Triceratops there's a raptor that we have up here, and we have a duck-billed dinosaur, the Edmontosaurus. They're all found where we dig here, yes.
And in a little bit, we'll be talking about the soft tissue T-Rex and Hadrosaur finds of the last few years and the idea of carbon-14 dating those. But when I was up there and we were on a dinosaur dig, a fossil dig, excavating, there were creationists, and I sort of feel like I don't want to necessarily name them, but two movies have come out of the group that was there with you at your museum and on the dig. One is already out in the theaters. It's been out for a while. You get it on DVD. It's Ben Stein's movie, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. And I'd say the lead scientist in that movie was there at your museum. This is before it even opened, and at the dig site. And you recall that, right?
Oh, I sure do. In fact, after you guys left, I had an opportunity to dig one-on-one with him, and his son was with him, too.
Yeah, I recall.
So we had a marvelous time digging in the results of the flood of Noah's Day.
And then there's another creationist there that I won't mention because he's producing a major movie like Ben Stein's, only maybe more significant, an extraordinary movie, and that, Lord willing, will be out in the theaters in the fall. But so that was just one week with Otis Klein, and the things that happen, Otis, are astounding. So we talked a lot about soft tissue dinosaurs that week and dating dinosaurs. Could we discuss that?
Sure. Back in 2005, when we broke ground for the museum, an extraordinary event rocked the scientific community, the evolutionary scientific community, by the publication in Science Magazine, the April edition, 2005, of an article by Dr. Mary Schweitzer and Dr. Jack Horner, where they reported on finding blood vessels with red blood cells inside those vessels they could take out of the blood vessels, soft, stretchable, elastic, snapback like rubber band tissue, and collagen and hemoglobin from a T-Rex that was excavated just 80 miles northwest of us.
Wow.
And that rocked the community because people would say, well, you can't have soft tissue and have this bone be 65 to 68 million years old, which is how old they said it was.
Yeah, and it actually got a number of evolutionists and atheists upset, and they were saying this is not soft tissue of a T-Rex, this is something else, or this is a scam. They had a hard time arguing that it was a scam because one of the world's leading paleontologists, Jack Horner from Montana State University, he was the technical advisor on all three of the Jurassic Park movies, and he is the paleontologist heading up the dig. Mary Schweitzer is the scientist who then uses microscopes and finds out we've got soft tissue in here. So these are credentialed evolutionists.
That's absolutely right. And you're absolutely right. They were ridiculed. They were said it's pond scum. It's all sorts of stuff. But but it's not dinosaur tissue. But unfortunately for the people that ridiculed, since then, Dr. Schweitzer's been able to duplicate this work using hadrosaur, duckbill dinosaur bones. Other museums around the United States and in other parts of the world have done the same thing, and they're just dumbfounded. How can we have soft tissue and it be 65 million years old? But this intrigued us here because we were building the museum. We'd already been taking people on digs. We had two beautiful dinosaur femurs. That's your thigh bone. We had one from a Triceratops and one from an Edmontosaurus, which is a duckbill dinosaur. And we said, okay, Drs. Schweitzer and Horner, they sawed the femur of a T-Rex in half because they needed to get it out of where it was found. It was too heavy to take out by helicopter altogether. So we sawed our femurs, come from the same Hell Creek formation,
right?
Same geological formation. We sent bone marrow and other bone parts to two world-renowned laboratories that date using the accelerated mass spectrometer.
AMS?
AMS, the most accurate of carbon-14 dating techniques.
Mm.
And lo and behold, we got collagen from our samples. We also got young ages.
So collagen should not remain after millions of years because biological molecules are complex.
That's correct.
They're complex molecules, and due to the physics of the atoms involved and the normal atomic vibrations, you're going to see complex molecules break down given enough time.
That's absolutely right.
And so you shouldn't have hemoglobin and blood vessels and collagen. You shouldn't have these things in rock if dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago.
That's absolutely right. And for the Edmontosaurus, which was the duckbill dinosaur, we got raw carbon-14 dates from the AMS, Accelerated Mass Spectrometer, of 23,170 plus or minus 170 years. And for the Triceratops, we got 30,190 plus or minus 200 years for carbon-14 dates. So, I mean, here you are with carbon-14. The accelerated mass spectrometer is the best way to date for that. And the physics, you were talking about physics a moment ago. The atomic way that carbon-14 changes to carbon-12 and so on.
Right.
There should be no carbon-14 left, period.
Right.
After 80,000, 100,000 maximum. It just shouldn't be there, period.
Right. They should be carbon dead. And it turns out that not only do we find carbon-14, now there's problems with radiometric dating. They've dated, for example, a frozen mammoth, those non-woolly mammoths, they date them and they'll get different parts of the same animals dating to come out to be tens of thousands of years different. Like his front legs are 20,000 years older than his back legs. And so we know that there are problems with the calibrating of the radiometric dating techniques. In fact, there is rock from Mount St. Helens that formed in 1980 that should show that it's 30 years old, and it'll show that it's tens of thousands or 100,000 years old.
Yeah, there is a difference, though, in that carbon-14 dates something that used to be alive. It has to
right.
be organic in one way. Potassium argon, rubidium strontium, those methods date rock, something that never was alive.
Right.
They've even got more problems than the carbon-14 does.
Well, they do. Like at a volcano in Hawaii that they dated to be a million years old, and we know the year that it erupted, and it's just 100 years old or so, a couple hundred years. So, but with carbon-14, we know the half-life, which is, what is the half-life? Almost 6,000 years.
5,730 years.
All right. Thank you, Otis Klein. And so after tens of thousands of years, 50,000 years, you should have specimens that are now carbon-14 dead. There is no carbon-14. And what we're finding out in that was an Edmontosaurus that you found. Mm-hmm. We could add that to the list because everything that should be carbon dead, whenever we test it, we find out There's carbon 14 in everything that shouldn't have it, like diamonds and coal and oil, dinosaur fossils, amber. It's everywhere. It's even in 2 mile deep natural gas wells. And so no matter where we look, we find carbon 14. And so what that tells us from all over the world is that these things are not millions of years old. They're thousands of years old.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating time to be alive, actually, Bob, because the scientific discoveries, and you've been describing them, we've been talking about them, the discoveries that are being made, especially the ones that have been made in the last 10, 15 years, and the ones that will be made in the future here, are using instrumentation that wasn't available a long time ago.
Right.
And it's showing a young Earth.
It really
is.
So not only do they have their soft tissue T-Rex, and you have your find, but then they just recently went back out, and Harvard was part of the team, where it's so funny, Otis Klein, they realized they could get dinosaurs with soft tissue in them, so they went out and they found a hadrosaur, and Harvard has already partially sequenced the protein molecules from this hadrosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all well documented. You could go to our website, kgov.com, and we'll show you, you know, photographs from Newsweek and from National Geographic and all. And so this is happening everywhere, and you are there at your museum, and you're in Glendive, right?
That's correct. We're sort of at ground zero when it comes to dinosaurs.
You're at ground zero because you're at the Hell Creek Formation.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, there's two other things that were found just last year. Excuse me, three other things found last year. They found a Jurassic squid in the Jurassic sediment. They found ink that was still in it, viable.
And that was, in fact, there was Dr. Phil Wilby of the British Geological Survey, and they said, look, this squid is 155 million years old, and the ink is still liquid, and they drew a picture of the squid with its own ink.
And they found a fossil salamander with muscle that was still there. Muscle tissue was dried out, but it was complete with blood-filled vessels inside.
Oh.
And they say that's 18 million years old. That was from northeast Spain. And then Dr. Schweitzer, she reported on another hadrosaur, another duck-billed dinosaur, in Science magazine last year. Soft tissue and other proteins, again, with collagen. The list is going on and on every year. The evidence is adding up.
And you know what's
these
so funny?
Creatures are young.
Otis Klein, and by the way, people have got to get to your museum. It's worth visiting. It's worth driving from the Denver area to Glendive, Montana, to see the museum. If that's your only purpose for going, what is it? Maybe 15 hours or so? I'm just guessing, Otis. Do you know?
No, I've done it in... I think I've done it in closer to 12.
12 hours.
From Glendive, yeah.
Denver to Glendive.
From Denver to Glendive.
At Maranatha Christian Center, the administrators have kids that live in Glendive, Montana. And so they'll be going to visit, I'm sure. So I'm going to encourage them to go visit the Glendive Museum.
We just started this week with our summer hours, too. And that's Tuesday through Saturday. So we're just closed Sunday and Monday. And so we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 5.
And, you know, I love, well, your museum is gorgeous. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. But just the front of the building, Otis, you guys are so smart. There is not a carload of family with kids that'll pass your museum with the kids saying, we want to go in that museum because you've got a T-Rex that's breaking out of the front of your museum. And it's just tremendous. It's the best marketing, the blessings from the Lord that comes through the creativity of you and your artists there. You guys are amazing.
Well, thank you. And it does attract a lot of attention because it's actually 1.5 times life size because we're a big museum. We don't want it to get lost. But we face the freeway And we're on the northeast corner of exit 215, the 215 interchange in Montana here. So you can see it from the freeway. Like you say, it's hard to pass by.
Yeah, it's really hard to pass by. And so when I was there, we got a tour, the extraordinary people who were there that week. It was such a blessing to be there. The museum at that time was awesome, and it hadn't yet opened. How many people are coming through? What kind of reactions are you getting from folks stopping by?
Well, most of the people that stop by are thrilled because this confirms what they've heard about, what they've read, what they thought. Well, I'm the only one that believes in that the Bible is absolutely true.
Mm.
And they see this and they say, oh, you've given us facts to confirm that. Other people come by and they say to us when they leave, you know, I was on the fence. I didn't know whether I wanted to come and see you guys or not. But they really like what they see, and they said, you've really made us think.
Mm.
And we have a complete gift shop here that has a lot of resources, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll ask me, you know, what should I read to help me? And we get some people that are just dyed-in-the-wool, 100% worldview is evolution.
Right.
And some will walk in, and they will see that we talk about God. We have a Bible verse right where you... above where you pay your entrance fee.
Mm-hmm.
It says Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and they say, what's that there for? And we tell them, I'll turn around and leave.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Hey, yeah, well, maybe
that's
it's because,
happens, you know?
Yeah, well, Otis, maybe it's because they're open-minded and they want to know both sides of every argument.
I don't know. But really, when you get down to it, we are so thrilled. And like the past this week and next week, last weeks of school here in Montana and North Dakota, we have been inundated with tours from public schools, private schools, homeschoolers coming through. It's so exciting to see minds just light up. You can see the lights go on in people's heads.
Mm.
Wow, that makes sense.
You know what I would
God says is true.
Mm. Otis, you know what I'd like to do? I don't want to take up the remaining 5 minutes we have, but we're going to put this show on the internet as we do so that we will link to your website, creationtruth.org. People
Good.
Could click on the museum. They could see. Just seeing the front of the museum is just so exciting. But what I'd like to do is extend the show. After you and I are done, we will play the phone conversation I had with Dr. Jack Horner, the paleontologist at the Museum of the Rockies at Montana State University, the Jurassic Park movie guy, because I asked him, I said, hey, we've raised some money. We'd like to pay $23,000 for you guys to carbon 14 date that soft tissue T-Rex, you and Mary Schweitzer. And did you ever listen to that audio, Otis? I can't recall if you.
No, I don't believe I have, Bob. No.
Yeah, we have about a 5-minute conversation where he's hemming and hawing, and he says, "Do you know if we carbon 14 date that? Because it would cost about $3,000 to carbon 14 date 5 specimens. They could submit a blind test, a double blind test, and they could also get other things carbon 14 dated that they might want to, and then we'd give them $20,000 for the museum on top of the cost of the test. And that museum, they could really use that kind of money. And so he was hemming and hawing, but he said, you know what the creationist would do if we carbon 14 dated this thing? And so he ended up deciding he didn't want to do it for political reasons, not for scientific reasons.
And that's unfortunate because many of the evolutionists say, well, there's no science done at our museum, or there's no science presented at our museum. Well, they'll also say, well, I've never been to the museum, but
right.
That's what I believe.
Right.
But if they would go to the museum here, every exhibit is backed up by science, and we even reference the sources.
Right.
And most of the sources are from secular scientists because
sure.
They're the ones like Jack and Mary that have discovered the soft tissue the first time.
Right.
So it science is here. And then we went ahead, like I said, and we talked about it, we did scientific study ourselves using the accelerated mass spectrometer at two world-renowned laboratories, because we wanted to make sure that they would...
Right.
We weren't just doing it one. Well, you got one thing, is it can't be repeated somewhere else, because that's part of the essence of science, too. It's repeatable. It's verifiable.
So your Edmontosaurus has carbon-14 in it, and if it was 60 million years old, it should have none, of course.
Absolutely.
And so here's what they said at first. Many of the atheist evolutionists, they said, well, it can't be dinosaur tissue because biological molecules would break down over 60 million years. And so now they're finding out, lo and behold, it is dinosaur tissue, and you could find more of it. And they're saying, wow, who would have ever thought dinosaur tissue would remain unrefrigerated for 65 million years? They're just amazed. Otis, they will believe anything. Their theory is so pliable that it will accept any fact, and there's no way to falsify their evolutionary time frame.
True.
Wow.
True. Yeah.
All right, so we're out of time. Let's give the name, the location, and the website again. And I think you might even have an email newsletter, do you?
I sure do. It's Glendive Dinosaur and Fossil Museum. If you just Googled that, it would come up. But it's located in Glendive, Montana.
Glendive is G-L-E-N-D-I-V-E.
Right.
Just like
Montana.
It sounds.
Yeah. And our website is www.creationtruth.org.
So that's creationtruth.org.
Right.
All right.
And on that website, that takes you, there's even pictures of the inside of the museum, some of the exhibits, the outside, as well as dinosaur digs that we take people on.
And the museum is absolutely gorgeous, just gorgeous.
And then if you wanted to email me, you can do it through the site or directly at FACT, F-A-C-T, FACT at midrivers.com.
All right, FACT at midrivers.com. That's your email ID.
Yes.
And Otis Klein, K-L-I-N-E. Otis, it's such a thrill to know you. It's just an honor, and that you guys have this camp here. This is going to be a central location for discovery and research in the Western United States, the Northern United States. It's just extraordinary, and thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it, and I've enjoyed being on your show. Thank you.
Praise God. All right, that was Otis Klein. And the museum, the Glendive Dinosaur and Fossil Museum. Wow, this is blowing my mind seeing this again, because what's happened to it since I've been there? The Glendive Dinosaur and Fossil Museum. Otis Klein has got an extraordinary artist who has been the architect, the designer of each of the exhibits. You might think Glendive, Montana is a little town, have a little tiny museum. No. Big museum, big exhibits. They're bursting out of the building, big exhibits. It is really fun. You're going to want to go to creationtruth.org and check out Otis Klein's museum. Our website is kgov.com. We will put the audio of my conversation with Jack Horner, the Jurassic Park movie's technical advisor, on the end of this show, so you could hear the hesitancy and why they don't want to test their soft tissue T-Rex mine for carbon-14. Why not? Because they're going to find it.
Hello,
could I speak to Jack Horner?
Yeah, who's calling?
This is Bob Enyart with KLTT Radio in Denver, Colorado. That's Bob Enyart.
Yeah, let me transfer you over to his office. I think he should be in there right now.
Yellow.
Hello, Jack. This is Bob Enyart with KLTT Radio in Denver.
Uh-huh.
How are you doing?
Good.
Jack, I sent a letter to Bob Harmon a few weeks back offering the museum a grant of $8,000 to do a carbon-14-day test of that soft tissue T-Rex you guys dug up. And he said he would forward that to you. And I'm wondering if you saw that or considered it.
Well, carbon-14 doesn't work on something that old.
I understand that. And normally we wouldn't expect to get soft tissue out of a T-Rex skeleton either. But sometimes science proceeds by crossing your T's and dotting your I's. And you guys might have other things you'd like to carbon-14 at the same time. In fact, in the last couple of weeks, I've been able to raise a little more money. So that's up to $10,000 now that we'd be honored to give you guys if you would consider doing that test.
Well, we can't do that test.
You can't do that?
No.
Do you mean the museum doesn't have the laboratory?
We certainly don't.
Okay, well, we're happy to pay the expense of having a lab do the test in addition to the $10,000 to the museum.
Do you know how carbon-14 works?
Yeah, I'm familiar, and I realize it's useless for anything over maybe 50,000 years or so. But I've done a talk show in Denver for 15 years, and there's a group of folks interested in science. Of course, that discovery caught their attention, and they thought, well, it'd be logical to do this, to just go ahead and do it, even though nobody would be inclined to do it, just like nobody would be inclined to look for soft tissue inside of a T-Rex.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we're still trying to figure out what it is, what it's actually made of.
Right, exactly, whether it's a hemoglobin or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Jack, is the amount too small that it's just not worth the consideration?
No, that's not it.
Okay. What if I were able to raise more money?
No, that the amount of money has nothing to do with it. Because carbon-14 doesn't work on something like this,
right?
Your results that you get could be all over the place.
Well, they should be infinity. It should be not datable. In other words, it shouldn't come back saying it's 25,000 years old.
Right.
It should be infinity. And so that'll be a worthwhile...
Well, infinity isn't exactly what you get.
Okay.
I mean, it's like trying to date a piece of concrete.
Right.
You wouldn't have to have carbon in it.
Right. You wouldn't use carbon-14. Now, the skeleton is not fossilized. Isn't that true, or largely not?
Well, it's you know, the bone is made of calcium phosphate.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, we're still trying to figure out what the actual soft tissue is.
Right. And see, we were hoping that a test like this would just add another bit of scientific information that that you would have at your disposal. And also, in that grant letter, we asked if it could be a blind test with five different specimens, and therefore then the museum could test four other specimens that you might want to have carbon-14 dated, and so you could put it all in the same batch, and those testing then will pay the cost of that. That'll be free to the museum plus the $10,000 grant.
Let me tell you where I'm coming from here.
Sure.
All right. Obviously, your group is a group of creationists.
Yes.
And the spin they can get off of it.
Right.
Doing it is.
Well,
not going to help us.
Yeah. So even though it's just a scientific test, they're not asking for voodoo
or
anything.
It's not actually a scientific test. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Carbon-14 dating something with soft tissue in it. Jack, if I could raise $20,000, would it be worth?
I will talk to Mary Schweitzer about it.
Okay. I appreciate that. And how about this? I'll resend you the grant letter with the amount of $20,000 in it. And then you could talk to Mary and we'll see where it goes.
I want to know what group is sponsoring it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's
I need some really specific details about.
Sure.
And don't just, you know, tell it to me straight.
Of
okay?
course. I've hosted a daily talk show for 15 years. We're on a 50,000 watt AM station, KLTT. Mm-hmm. And there's a local church here, Denver Bible Church, mm-hmm. that's offered to help. But we also have pledges from any number of individuals in the Denver community.
Okay.
So we could, if you guys agree, we could send you the check within 24 hours.
Okay. Well, let me talk to Mary and let me just talk to a few people.
Okay.
Because I don't want to, you know, I can't afford to have it turn into a circus.
Right. Well, I do understand that and I appreciate your time. So.
Okay. I will see Mary this next week.
Oh, that's fabulous. I'd be happy to call you back in 2 weeks from now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much, Jack.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.